Good evening, everyone, and welcome to EP Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my lovely co-host, Squirrel Rourke. Hi, Squirrel, honey. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone. I have to tell I saw a robin today. I don't, you know, that's a big deal since we still have about, you know, 3 feet of snow on the ground, but
it's, poor little thing is lost.
Oh, poor little guys. You know, I guess they can find some grass somewhere, but spring is coming and they're here. It always makes me happy.
Oh, good. Well, tonight, and this is a live transmission, just so everybody knows. Today is the 13th day of March, 2014. And if you have questions, they are welcome. Please try to keep them on topic if you can. You can email them to squirrel@wyom.net during the show, since she has her computer.
I do.
And tonight's show, Healing the Collective Feminine. You know, we've done this subject before, but new things are coming up all the time. So how do we go from being objectified to owning our beauty, power, and influence? How can we make a difference in the entire collective, and how do we embrace our divine feminine? Each person, male and female, can make a difference by intending that their actions, words, and intentions to heal what has been out of balance for eons. Ending our sense of competition, embracing our power and true beauty, and stepping into a more authentic version of ourselves. We can change the world. It's what we came here to do. There is no issue that is too big or too daunting. And I'm a lot going on this week. So, Squirrel, you've got astrology reports. I know you do.
Of course I do. Well, you know, we're approaching the Virgo full moon, and, of course, Virgo represents the Virgin. So,
oh, interesting.
I know. And the Pisces sun is shining completely on opposite Virgo. So this one comes from Amanda Painter, and she writes that this week's astrology has been marked by the sense of needing to make a decision, possibly about speaking your truth to an authority figure, which that includes any internalized authority. Have you been feeling a sense of pressure in that regard, or possibly noticed how you express your own power in your life? And as we move into the full moon, that's exact on Sunday, so I'm a little ahead of myself, but that's about at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. Okay, so for this full moon, we have the sun in emotional, empathic, clairvoyant Pisces being opposed by the moon in mentally oriented particular Virgo. Both of these signs have strong affinities for service, but even that good intention can come under some strain during a full moon. The full moon in Virgo is great for reorganizing your physical environment. Interpersonally, however, it tends toward being overly critical. If you have ever had an intimate relationship, you know how quickly the joy and fun can get sucked out of things if you or your partner always point out what isn't good enough or isn't working right. It's a good time to do creative work, psychic contact, and inner exploration. This is a reminder also to be aware of how even small statements and actions can ripple out, affecting those around us. Emotional reactions can take on a life of their own, as any critical statements made with anything less than empathy motivating them. The same is true for joy and kindness. You just need to make them your intention. Let's see. And then this comes from Cafe Astrology. The full moon, March 16th, time of culmination and the promise of fulfillment of that which was started at the new moon. It's an emotional time, a time of romance, fertilization, and relationships. With the Virgo Pisces service access involved, this full moon presses us to find a balance between day-to-day functions and routines, physical health, and the need for order and vision, spiritual health, disorder, and the infinite. Virgo rules the tools and techniques that we use to deal with day-to-day life, while Pisces rules the tools that we use to deal with our spiritual selves. Some sort of crisis, which can be a crisis of consciousness or sudden awareness of a lack in our own lives, provides us with a golden opportunity to explore our emotional needs within the context of the house polarity where the full moon occurs in our natal charts. This full moon urges us to strike a balance between work and service, practicality and impracticality, criticism and acceptance. So it's also a good time to map out the steps toward a new goal with a daily routine in mind, spend time alone, like taking a walk or reading, resolve to be a born-again virgin, make sex sacred again.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I mean,
perfect.
You know, it goes with our show, and I have to agree. I'm excited about this show because we have, I think, through a lot of different media, lost the sacredness. I mean, so anyway.
I didn't even get to that paragraph.
That's what we will.
That is a great. That's a great subject. Do not let me forget when we get to the end of this to comment on that, Squirrel, because you're absolutely right, and that's been my mantra for a long time, which is why I'm still alone.
As am I.
Okay. Right.
Right.
Okay.
So, here we go.
All right. I posted an amazing TED Talk on Facebook this week, and Bonnie is the one that sent it to me because of some things we'd been discussing and some other issues that had come up. And it rattled me when I watched it. And I hope you've all had a chance to get on there if you belong to Facebook.
I
told Bonnie
twice.
Also.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
It was compelling.
And
she was so well-spoken.
She was excellent. Well, they have, you know, a very short period to get a lot of information out. She did a wonderful job. And it fit right in with so many things that are going on in the work right now. So, anyway, and I had mentioned to Bonnie about this Target commercial, and I'm lucky to see television for 30 minutes a day. I turn it on when I get in bed and I'm out. You know, before I get, I'm gone. Because I go to bed early. There's usually something I want to watch, like The Voice or something, and I can't stay awake. But I watch it for 15 minutes when I have breakfast and 15 minutes when I have lunch, which tells you I don't do anything leisurely. And there's been this Target commercial of these young girls playing in the ocean. They're probably 13. But it's very seductive. And they were in bikini bathing suits, splashing each other. And so, I mean, something you would see in a porno, okay? It had sexual overtones. And it infuriated me because all I could think of is somebody, you know, who leans towards pedophilia watching something like that, or young girls. And it made me cringe. So, anyway, these kids, 13 years old and just blossoming. And, you know, and now we're objectifying children to sell products, and if you haven't seen it, go to my Facebook page, Jackie Salvitti, and watch it. It's well worth watching. There's a level of competition.
If anybody wants to watch it, just email me, and I'll just send you the link, the direct link, if Facebook's not something you do. So let me know.
There you go. Thanks,
that's
girl.
That's easy. Sure.
Okay. There's a level, and if you don't have Squirrel's email, you can email me. So, because some of the people that watch may not have yours, honey. There's a level of competition between women over men that has existed for so very long. We've traced it back to Atlantis through some sessions we're doing on healing the breach between the feminine and masculine. Women have been labeled as the seductresses, and the Bible portrays Eve as one as well, the fall of man from the Garden of Eden, because Eve tempted Adam to eat of the forbidden fruit of knowledge of all things. And it's a metaphor, I am certain. I don't believe this to be an actual story at all, but it's written metaphorically. But that has not stopped, of course, the Catholic Church, which this is where original sin came from, that because of what Eve did, that everyone is born with sin. I'm like, no. I had a problem with that when I was in fifth grade. I had a mom senior swear at me in confession.
If being baptized got rid of the original sin, I don't think that really worked for me. I mean, the guilt was always still there and all the same stuff. I'm not quite sure what that ceremony was all about, but nonetheless, go on.
Well, that was just in case you died as a baby.
Oh, just in case.
Yes. So, because of the story, it took hold, and we still see women in burqas because their beauty will tempt men, and therefore they have to cover themselves. And they're taught that they must not drive or go anywhere alone for fear of being raped. And, I mean, these are things that they actually believe to this day. And, you know, I mean, if anybody out there is a Muslim, I'm not trying to make waves here, but these are carryovers from the whole original thing that women are seductresses. Then there's a loss of trust between women. Women have been competing for men for almost all of time. Women needed men to protect them and hunt for food. It's in our lineage. I mean, the Neanderthals did this from the very beginning. Honestly, if your lover, boyfriend, or husband cheats on you, it's usually the woman that you blame first. Think about it, squirrel, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because she was a willing participant, let's say, right?
Well, and again, it comes back to this whole concept of the seductress.
Right.
You know, if people talk about a wedding ring as, you know, like a flag, you know, see if you can seduce them and, you know, on men. And,
right. And men have kind of been given a... you know, a day pass, you know, if they mess up and they cheat because they were seduced. But at the same time, you know, a conscious woman probably wouldn't seduce somebody else's man. But then again, you know, there's so many extenuating circumstances that would be, well, maybe he didn't tell her he was married or had a girl, you know, I mean, we don't know. But whatever it is, something's not honest.
Well, here's the problem. This is in our collective lineage. It's part of the collective consciousness. That's the whole point of this, is that it's the go-to because of the sense of competition between women. And, you know, I'm always amazed at the issues, and I've had them as well, women that were not trustworthy in my life. I've had them in business. I've had them in my personal life, believe me. And I know when my husband had an affair, I actually blamed the woman that seduced him. You know, it was just a natural place to go. And she was obvious about it. She worked in our office.
Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, on another note, I don't hang out with married men as friends, or, you know, I mean, I they're not my friends. You know what I'm saying? They're not single. I mean, even if a guy has a girlfriend, I mean, I don't just go out and, like, call him up and say, hey, let's go have some coffee. It just doesn't happen.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I have a lot of male friends, and I have clients with a lot of male friends, and they're very comfortable doing that, but not to go to bed with someone. You know, but they do have a lot of male friends that are married, and they're married themselves.
Right, but do they just go off and do, like, go to the movies together? Or, I mean, no, I mean, it just, I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, I do have a friend
really?
That does that.
Okay.
Absolutely. And no, she's not having an affair, you know, so it's very interesting. There seems to be a little honor among women when it comes to men. Not all women, but it's in the collective, and it's in your lineage. You know, if we go back, you know, one or two generations, nobody talked about it.
Right.
It's also believed that most women are jealous, But it's deeply ingrained. That jealousy is deeply. It goes back to the competition. Most women are prepared from the time of their very young age that they have to be pretty and dress well to impress boys and then men. And there was something on the internet not too long ago, and it was back probably from the late 50s would be my guess. And it was actually an actual article, but it was done with kind of cartoon characters. Okay, it was an informative thing, and it's an actual reprint. And basically, the pictures were the wife, you know, in kind of Leave It to Beaver kind of thing.
Yeah.
The dress, the pearls, and so on, you know, and the high heels.
June Cleaver.
And it's it. It was instructional to women, okay? Women weren't supposed to ask their husbands where they'd been, but to have a drink in the newspaper waiting for them when they came home. To look pretty in a dress and pearls and make sure you take a little nap or something before they get home and your makeup's fresh. And it was fine if the husband went out for a drink after work, but don't upset him and don't ask too many questions. And I mean, I just looked at this and went, oh my God.
And I think a lot of this has to do with a lack of education for women to create their own income, and you know, they were that subservient, and they didn't want.
They were that dependent. Again, dependent.
They
you
were.
You have to look at the short time frame we've had of women stepping into their power. It's amazing what's been accomplished so far. You know, it's just slightly over 50 years.
It's true.
And women are making huge strides, huh?
Go on.
Go ahead, Annie.
But now we've kind of, women have taken their power, but they've created this sexiness about it. And so it's almost like, you know, it's backfired that now we've become sexual objects, which for some people think that's very empowering, but really it's quite the opposite. Go on. So.
Well, this, again, the pendulum swings, squirrel.
Yes, yes.
Women are making huge strides in taking back their power, and in many households, they're still working, taking care of the house and the children. We've been told for over 2,000 years that Christ was born to a virgin. And it was changed to fit in with the myth of Isis and Osiris. However, the Bible that you read today was changed, the Catholic Bible. And that change was important to all women. Mary Magdalene, who had been combined with another Mary in the 4th century, and became a prostitute. So Mary Magdalene, disempowering her because she was too powerful. And there were no powerful women in the Christ story. In 1967, the Catholic Church changed it with little fanfare, but the damage was done. And it affected 1,760 years, plus or minus, of lifetimes. Men married a virgin and had sex with a harlot or a prostitute. This is one of the reasons that the Da Vinci Code was such a huge book, whether people really understood that put a crack in the collective consciousness,
mm-hmm.
because it brought Mary up to a different level and reestablished her as a powerful being. Very, very, very important. The possibility that she and Christ were married and had heirs. Men married a virgin, had sex with a harlot or a prostitute, and it was another split and major disempowerment of the divine feminine. And we deal with this at a collective level. This is what people may or may not realize. I don't know if anybody sits around and thinks about these things. I do. We have people that we're working with now that through their sessions, they are intentionally working on healing the split from all lifetimes. And I can't give names because it's not appropriate for me to disclose. Plus, I didn't have time to ask. But I will say that what's occurring now is happening and being reflected in so many sessions. This is what I'm finding so interesting. the women, and it's always this way with, you know, with a show anyway, I always get a bunch of sessions that kind of validate the energy of the show. It seems like the show just kind of builds that energy up and pulls people through. There was a person who was carrying a certain energy, and she couldn't figure out where it came from or whatever. And the team gave her directions where to find it and so on, and she diligently went there and to a lifetime. And what's so fascinating, you know, is that in that lifetime she was a male. And it had an impact, okay, because she had a partner and then this other woman was trying to seduce her and so on, and it interfered, and I don't remember the whole thing because I'm never that aware in the sessions, but it interfered and had an impact on Atlantis to some degree, and certainly to her. But that, again, the betrayal between the two feminine, okay, the feminine to the feminine, stayed with her through all of her lifetime since Atlantis. That's how impactful it can be. That's how far back it can anchor in. But it's been going on that long. You know, this is such exciting work for me anyway, and who knew it could happen this way? You know, I'm still trying to get my Ferrari out of second gear. Well, I'm in third, but I know there's more gears. So and that's, the team just continues to amaze me. And, you know, as people come along and increase the level of their intentions, the opportunities and work on themselves, the opportunities to go further are opening up and opening up, things happening that I couldn't even imagine. And there are men that are participating as well. And because we've all been men and women, the goal is to heal it within everything, all right, honestly. Because it's in everyone's lineage, whether they're male or female, in this lifetime. How can we do this competition and lack of trust? How can we do this with all of the objectifying that is happening in the media? To integrate great both the divine masculine and divine feminine. We've been told through every magazine, the internet, movies, and TV that women are objects, sex sells. Pornography, including the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy. I have not read it.
I thought that was about aliens at first.
I know, that's very funny, Squirrel. No, unfortunately not.
I know, it's not.
All right, for those of you that don't know what this trilogy is, three books, and they're making the movie right now, it's about sex, but it's about bondage,
it's degrading
little settlement.
Sex, right? Yeah.
Yes, of course, the dark side of sex. But who's promoting all of this? You know, we still have this light dark, which we all are. We all carry the polarity, but we can make a choice. And you know, this goes back to what you said at the beginning, Squirrel, about, you know, the sacredness of sex. And you can look for the light in the dark, and there are going to be people who the orgasm is the closest thing to the white light experience there is, to being on the other side of the veil. That's why you only get it for a minute or two or whatever you happen to experience. But and it was programmed in to make certain that people would, and animals would, procreate. However, there is a divine aspect to it, where you can raise your frequencies, and, you know, Tantra has taught this, and, you know, Tantric Yoga has taught it, the Kama Sutra. These are all ways of raising frequency and actually raising the energy up through the chakras so that you can actually have a full body orgasm. And expand that experience as both physical and spiritual. And you know, I've been there, so I know it works. And unfortunately, humans don't even understand how powerful the orgasm is in terms of the energy and how to direct it, that you can actually direct it to help heal the planet and humanity and many other things. We can send light and love out into the world, not during sex now, this is just, we can live our lives and set our focus to integrate, and we can set our intentions to stop the competition and the objectification. And we can talk to the goddess. And I think that option, a lot of people may or may not think about it. I really recommend that if you go to Lazarus and you Lazaris.com, Lazaris.com, and you just type in goddess, you should, on a search, you should be able to find information there. Certainly many people have already explored this, and but you can go and meet with the goddess. All right. And it's an unbelievably beautiful experience. And this is a time when the goddess is really coming to the fore, God and goddess. That integration is occurring as it's happening on the planet. Not that they need to be integrated, but it's being integrated in our consciousness. Instead of just God bringing in that feminine, the God, goddess, all that is, so that you're integrating it all, your divine masculine, your divine feminine. Personally, I have no intention of to stop wearing makeup. Okay, that's not going to happen. Or to dress differently. I'm me, but I do it for me, not for men. That is the difference. I don't care if I go to yoga. I don't care if I go to the grocery store. It doesn't matter where. I pretty much always look the same, even when I walk.
That
people
is
laugh
you, though.
At me at yoga.
I mean, that is you. I mean, even if you don't see a single soul all day, right? And you're on the phone.
The hair
talking?
Is down and the makeup's on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's you.
And actually, I do it out of respect for the goddess and for my higher self to maintain, and I don't know that I can explain that to you any other way, but to me, I look at the feminine and embrace the feminine in all of its wonder and bodiness and everything else. I kind of, you know, I carry it all. We're all working on loving ourselves more and healing all the split within ourselves. And hopefully everyone is working on healing their lineage. We had an interesting session with a lovely person, Jewish woman, and she was feeling terrible anger at her mother, and she found it intolerable to be around her. It was feminine rage, but she wasn't able to identify it as such. And the team helped her to understand that the guilt and manipulation she experienced with her mother was triggering her rage. The manipulation of the masculine, her father, by her mother, was another trigger. It was all coming up. Her mother was just the trigger. But this is something that's been repetitive and repetitive and repetitive. Interestingly enough, this woman said, when her husband says, you know, a happy wife is a happy home or something like that, you know, in other words, you know, keep the wife happy, everything's good. She gets infuriated because she would never manipulate. So to her, it's just not even appropriate to go there. That's how deep that piece of rage is. And, you know, we have jokes about Jewish mothers and Italian mothers and, you know, how they use guilt, manipulate, and so on. You know, it's built into their lineage as well. She's making the break, which is wonderful.
It really is. And it's not easy. I empathize with her.
And women who haven't taken their power have used these tricks forever. It was their way of getting what they wanted. It was passive aggressive. But it was the only way they knew how to get what they wanted, because they weren't empowered.
I know. I mean, that type of woman, I mean, they would even, for children, they would use the guilt trip on food. You're not eating what I made for you, you know?
Yes, exactly.
I slaved over the stove all day for this. Okay, Mom, I'll eat more. Pile it on. But
when we develop true intimacy and love ourselves and feel empowered, we can develop relationships that can flourish. We must remember that different things can and will trigger our collective feminine rage. And masculine rage, for that matter. There's never been a better time than now to recognize it for what it is. To change our beliefs, meditate, write letters. When I say write letters, I mean get it out. Write a letter to Mom, to Dad, to ex-husbands, to whoever. Okay. That you need to, and to journal, and whatever else you have to do to honestly process it. You know, and really, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a feminine rage journal, I swear. I have a friend that cannot get to her feminine rage, and she's had a few incidents lately of being intentionally cut off by cars at exactly the same location in this little town we live in, and narrowly avoiding an accident. And it's been fascinating to me that she loses it. And it, like, she's never done in her life. It's just not her. She's the sweetest person ever. And she just acts totally out of character, giving them the finger, you know, the arm, the elbow, the... And screaming in the car, you know, obscenities. And, but it's feminine rage. And it was interesting to me because one time it was a man, the other time it was a woman. And she actually followed the woman. She was so angry. She didn't follow the man.
Well, then what happened? I mean, did she follow her? How far?
She followed her far enough to confront her, and the woman says, I'm going to call the police. And she said, you're going to call the police? You almost put me in an accident, and you're going to call the police? She just went off. And I said, see, feminine rage. Okay, it's good for you. So during this time, be loving to yourselves. It's such a powerful time on the planet, and things are moving so quickly. I have so many people that are moving to incredible levels of self-empowerment and reviewing their entire lives. Looking back, myself included, at choices they've made in the past and dealing with the anger and the upset, the disappointment, you know, how could I have made this choice? Of course, with the realization that they did the best they could with what they knew at the time. We all do. But as they awaken, it just opens up a totally different level. And you know what the team has always said, you know, we work originally with Mom and Dad because that's where that's the blueprint. And it's fascinating to me how we go out and marry people that can carry not only what our father, but our mother. What we knew as love as children, okay? However Mom and Dad were, and if you go down and you write one sentence about describing Mom, how Mom was to you, one sentence about how Dad was, how you describe Dad, how people do this over and over again. But also remember that the choices you've made on this planet, and Bonnie said this to me, and I really appreciated it. I was just, because I've been working on some of my own healing work, and And she said, you should be proud of yourself and love yourself for the choices that you made out of love, knowing that it was going to change the planet. So she and I celebrated together in that conversation because we were both kind of there. When anger comes up, don't blame yourself and don't beat yourself up. Sit with it and find why, if you can. Look at what might possibly be causing the anger that's bigger than normal. That's the way you know, okay? You could almost feel it kind of pop out of you. We're changing the planet more ways than you may realize it. And trust that your intentions and all of your beautiful work that you're all doing is making a difference, because it is. That I promise you. Okay. I'm going to go into channel here.
Okay.
So, before I go in, Squirrel.
Yeah.
How are you doing with feminine rage?
Well, I have my moments for sure. I think it's up. I recognize it. I try to process it. You know, I would say that, getting back to the car thing, which I think is funny. You know, when everybody has somebody who cuts them off when they're driving or makes a stupid move, and you're like, really, you didn't see me? Are you kidding? And and then I realized, or, you know, you come back and you find, like, a scratch on your car door because, you know, they park so close to you that, you know, it's the only thing they can do is just, you know, hammer your door getting in and out. But I just realized I just feel like people are not respecting my space. And I think it has to do with feeling disrespected. And that's what a lot of it goes back to, whether it's in your childhood or, you know, currently, but lack
of respect.
In your
lineage, other lifetimes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And it's like, you didn't notice me, I'm not worthy, you know, it all seems to go right back to the same thread. And that's what I've been noticing.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's making me angry, you know. So, anyway, let's see what
the team
has to say about
that. Trying to come in here.
Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to come in, so give me a minute.
All right.
All right. Well, good subject. Good subject. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to you, Squirrel, dear one.
Thank you.
And to our dear channel. All right. What's happening on your planet? Has gone to an extreme. It's a part of busting the boundaries that have been there. You're seeing a breaking down of what you thought was solid and stable. All right. You're now very comfortable with same-sex relationships. You may not be comfortable with all of the tattoos, but they're there. You might as well get used to them. A lot of these young people, and some of them older, are adorning themselves. Now, this goes way back, right, to times of the goddess when they would paint themselves with hemp and look quite stunning, actually, during the festivals. And it goes back even further. It also goes off planet, but that's another story. All right. everything's breaking down. You young girls wear very little clothes today, you know. It's all happened in a very short period of time. And people are becoming more and more open about their sexuality. Now, not every listener is going to feel this way, but it is what's going on in the world. The media, and you have to go back and look at the media, promote the dark side, appeal to the dark side. Part of this is the rebellion against the control of religion. The control or authority of the masculine. So in essence, you're in chaos. Reorganizing to come out a different way. Now, does that mean the gay people won't be gay? Of course not. And of course they will be. Of course they will be. Many races are androgynous. Many of these people understand androgyny. And yet in every couple you will notice that one is carrying the masculine energy and one is carrying the feminine. Some division in them. But your media has promoted and capitalized and objectified sex. And of course, when people think of sex, why? They use primarily female images, but also you see some male images. Only you call them the hunks, all right. Now, everything's pretty wide open, including violence. They don't make movies very much without violence because nobody will go see them. They have to have the superheroes so that they can justify the violence. Now the zombies and the this and the that, you know. However, it's a playing out. And literally, all right. Literally, a playing out. You can blame the media, and rightfully so, it falls back in their lap. They do what sells. People are buying. Nobody wants to be told what to do. Freedom. But unfortunately, many of them get stuck in the physical. And use it to get lost instead of expanding who they are. We're not judging, please understand. You have some other issues going on, of course, your money systems. All right. Media. Pharmaceuticals. Medical profession, all playing out right now. Historically, all dominated by the masculine. You can think of it as kind of cleaning house. All that's been suppressed is coming to the surface. Because that's what happens. When a race is going through dramatic change as you are, you can't sweep it under the rug. You can't hide it. People are going to act it out. And unfortunately, there are those that are going to capitalize, either through fear or temptation. And or addiction. Can you make a difference? Yes, you can. Please, people, don't underestimate who you are. You're these huge souls that have stuffed yourselves into these little human bodies. And each one of you, although you may not always see a way to do it, in this moment, it's coming for all of you. We know this to be true. Each and every one of you has an opportunity just in your own personal work, your own practice, to make a difference. You are the great ones from many different realms came to assist. And together, you're finding ways, avenues, of shifting huge chunks of the collective. We know we work with so many of you. And we love you for your persistence. Some of you are surprised how much impact you can have, which drives you even further. Sometimes it's unnerving, we know. But none of you are afraid, because you came in with that burning desire, knowing that you were here to make a difference, and you are. And we tell you, in whatever way you are making a difference, we ask you to direct some of your energy to the continued healing of the feminine rage and the integration of the masculine feminine through all lifetimes on Earth. It sounds big, but it's doable. Now, they may not put your picture in the paper, but you will know. You will know. And like the woman that gave the TED Talk, her laser beam focus and advice to find your voice in whatever way you choose to find it, whether you do it meditatively, you write articles, or you share with other people, or just really work with your intentions every day for this to shift, not out of judgment now, but for it to heal. It's what you all came to do, this and so many other things. You're just beginning now, people. Even though you think you've done so much work in this lifetime already, now you're just beginning. This is the good part, where you're going to realize what kind of an impact you can have. When you meditate, call in the team and literally hook into the network. We've been talking about this for a long time, because that's what you are. Of all the people that have and will work with us and have had lifetimes with all of the beings that are involved on this side, raising the energies, amplifying your impact. Know that you're loved. Know that you're supported. more ways than you can ever imagine, you are heard. Your intentions are known. Squirrel, how are we on time?
We have about 2 more minutes.
All right, good. Now, we also ask you to hold visions. Visions of how the world will look with all of this healed, how your life will look with all of this healed. And hold them. Fill those visions with love, with joy, with excitement, with enthusiasm, knowing that this imprint that you're holding in that moment will click. Work with your future self. And let your future self hold that vision for you, pulling you towards it. You're powerful people. Whether your lives are reflecting it right now or not, you're all powerful. Watch for the synchronicities. Watch for the opportunities to begin to come. This is going to be an amazing year for all of you. Remember to feel gratitude every day. We know you're all busy. We'd like to work with you tonight to help you heal your feminine rage. And if you're a man, that's fine too. Because in those lifetimes when you were female, it's there, influencing you today in ways you may not understand. Call us in tonight. And know that we love you all so very much, Squirrel. We love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be with all of you. And until we speak with you again in this format, we love you all. And like the song, you are always on our minds. Remember that.
That's ditto.
Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
Are we on?
Yeah, I think you have a chance to say goodnight, Jackie.
Okay, good. Good night, everyone. We love you so very, very much. Squirrel, good night. I love you, honey.
I love you, too.
And,
thanks for tuning in, everyone. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. And know that we appreciate you and look forward to all the good work you're going to do. All right. I know I'll be doing it. I know you will too, Squirrel. Okay.
I will.
Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful week.
Good night.
Good night.